May be seated. After a period interval, we are now resuming where we left off. Amen. The glorious body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us turn first to our base scripture that is found, amen, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. Then we're going to immediately go, amen, to the first chapter of Colossians. And there we were looking at the context of verse 15 through 20. And a couple other places I'm going to ask you to turn to this morning as we now get back into the continuum of our expository conveyance of this glorious, amen, entity, the body of Christ. The best thing is going. Amen. The greatest thing that God, amen, does in creation is the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 says when he, I'm just paraphrasing it, when he gets ready, amen, to show the manifold wisdom of his power to the principalities and the powers, yes, and all of those that have opposed him, in the end, he points to his greatest accomplishment. Guess what that is? It's oh my God, isn't that something? It's the church. It's the church. Yeah. Amen. That's the greatest thing around. There's nothing more glorious than his body. Oh my God, hallelujah. Now, we have been on this a while, and then, of course, through illness, we had the interruption, and we shall probably be on this up into spring. Probably would have been almost through by now, but, of course, that was our schedule. That wasn't God's schedule. Amen. So we'll move, amen, on the schedule, on God's schedule. All right, turning to Galatians first, which is our base scripture, chapter 3, verse 26. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Why don't you, who's Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Elder, why don't we start this morning I want you to hit verse 24 first. Oh, my God. All right, read that. And I hope I don't get hung up there, but read it.
Galatians chapter 3.
All right, everybody got it? Say amen again. All right.
Verse 24.
Read.
Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster,
mm-hmm,
to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster.
We are no longer. That word comes from the word we get in English, pedagogue, that most of us don't use anymore. Amen. It basically is a child leader, one who trains and supervised upbringing of a child. And this is what these directives that are written to the church are all about. It's to give us direction and understanding. Amen. And I don't think we should ever proceed on the basis of our own thinking. Everything that we do and everything touching life should be according to the Word of God as God leads and guides us. And so all of these instructions are here, and I dare to say that you can stay in our gospel, you can stay in these epistles, and receive basically everything that you need. Amen. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't go outside for corroboration. But just be careful when you go outside that you are corroborating. In fact, if it doesn't line up with what's in the epistles, then you know, amen, that that's not to you. Amen. That's the gauge. But these are instruction to us. There are things, as we shall see this morning, that are in the body of Christ. There are things in the body of Christ, amen, and things that are written to the body of Christ that are, as Paul said, they were hidden from ages. They weren't known. There are things that we know, amen, that the patriarchs didn't know. And, amen, the kings and prophets, amen, we know stuff these disciples didn't know. Isn't that something? Oh, my God. Those that walked with him. Paul said that it was unknown until it was revealed unto me. That is, unto Paul. It was a secret from the generations. Amen. And so we must value these writings. We must see how precious, amen, this information is to us. This is directed to you. These are instructions to you. Yes. Amen. Now, this is speaking directly to you as a member of the body of Christ. Now, one of the first things we must know is who we are. And that's a problem. It's a big time problem that God's people don't have. We don't know who we are. And so, amen, there's much information to bring us into understanding who we are. All right? I'll read that. Verse 26 to 29. Amen. Oh, my God. Look at that
verse clock. 26. For ye are all the children of God.
But we are all the children of God.
By faith in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ
mm-hmm.
have put on Christ.
Okay, now, this is not something that we're doing, and I don't have the time this morning. But no, when you look into the grammar here, this is God working, and he's on the active end, and everything that's expressed here, you are on the receiving end. You are the recipient. You're not putting on anything. Amen. Huh? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And you're not saved by your faith. You are saved by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are saved because he justified you and sanctified you. And the only thing that could do that was the blood of Jesus. Amen. Not because you believed him, but because he washed you and he cleansed you. Oh, my God. And he gave you his nature in the eternal sphere. I better leave that alone. Read.
Yes. Hallelujah. There is neither Jew and Greek.
Uh-huh.
There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male and female.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Oh, my God. Isn't that wonderful? Read.
And if ye be Christ,
mm-hmm.
then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Promise of justification by faith. Now, let's move right quickly to Colossians chapter 1, amen, where we have been gleaning for some time, amen, as we focus on the body, the attention and the priority is on the value portion of the body, or that portion, that entity which gives value to the body. That's the head. And this is why it's so important for us to know this morning who Jesus is. All right, so let's start here. Elders, read the 25th verse down through, oh my God, hallelujah.
Thank you.
I tell you what, let's not go that way this morning because I won't get where I'm going. Let's back up to the 15th verse. There's another document that I have, this document I have completed. There's another 23 pages, the glorious body of Christ, the church, some 41 pages. There's another document, our eternal place, our eternal abode in the body of Christ. I haven't finalized the theme of what I'm going to call it yet, but it speaks of our position in the body of Christ. Another 23 pages. Amen. And that portion, there's some things in there. In the 25th verse, oh my God, hallelujah. But let us just stick to that portion because of the time this morning. We got a late start. All right, the 15th verse through the 20th verse. Amen. And we'll come back to that other portion at some point. All right, everybody, let's start with the 15th verse. Everybody got it? Say amen. All right. Read a read.
Colossians 1:15. Mm-hmm. Who is the image of the invisible God, mm-hmm. the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and there are in earth, visible and invisible,
mm-hmm.
whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
So you don't get this kind of information outside of these writings.
No.
Amen. You got to go into these epistles, mm-hmm. and you have to go into the gospel, the grace of God. You have to look at the message of the mystery.
Glory.
To get this kind of information. Amen.
Yes.
And who is he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus.
Yes.
It's talking about Jesus.
Glory.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. Verse 17.
And he is before all things.
Mm-hmm.
And by him all things consist.
You see, he, him, all of this is talking about who?
Jesus.
Amen. You say, well, didn't God do something? Yes. Amen. God did all of this. Yes. Jesus is God.
Glory.
Amen. All right. Now, verse 18.
And he is the head of the body.
This is the significance of this. In order for you to appreciate the body, you've got to appreciate the essence of the head. Amen.
Yes.
And just what the head of this, just who he is and what he has done. Amen. And the essence of, amen, of his being. Who is Jesus? Amen. That was a question that was asked in the synoptic writings. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion, to three of them, he said, who do men say that I am? Amen. And some said, you're Moses. Some said, you're Elijah. Amen. And Peter said this, but Peter said, who do you say I am? He said, but we say that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't show you that. Amen. But even that much, amen, was just a little information. Amen. He still had the secret kept hidden, amen, to a later time. And that secret is revealed in his writings. All right, read.
And he is the head of the body of the church,
mm-hmm.
who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead,
mm-hmm.
that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Mm-hmm. Verse 19.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Notice the Father is a, what? It's italicized. It doesn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it pleased, actually, that in him all fullness dwell.
Yes.
Now, verse 20.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross,
mm-hmm.
by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Oh, my God. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is very, very, very critical information here to convey in. Amen. And Paul takes time, amen, in this sector to focus on Jesus and who he is, to add the importance to the body. We must give the supreme recognition to the head.
Right.
Amen. To fully understand and appreciate what Jesus has done for us, there must be an appreciation for the head.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. I want to take a sidebar here. I haven't done that in a while. I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Oh, my God. And the reason I'm doing that is that in correlation to the 18th verse, In fact, keep your finger on both the first Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. There's something grammatically in the constructions that are in apposition that I want you to see and to note and to understand. First of all, the reading from the Greek text in the 18th verse of Colossians is, and he is the head of the body of the church. And I missed that here, and I will be inserting that, and you will get fresh copies of this. Amen. Who is the beginning, the firstborn out from the dead, that he might be the first one in all things. Here you have a double genitive of the body and of the church. Of the body and of the church. The actual Greek reading is ke aftos estin e kaphali ton somatos tis ekklesia. I want you to focus on the last words here that is ton somatos, that is of the body, and then tis ekklesia, of the church. This is the literal reading. Of the body, of the church. Of the body, of the church. Amen. Now, I have no problem with those who have dropped it and say, of the body, the church, because when you go down to the 24th verse, it distinctly tells you that the body is the church. I have no problem. So that's. But what I want you to focus on here is a construction where you have a double genitive, or two genitives, of the body of the church. Here, if you understand that of the body is the same as of the church, or that the church is the body, let's focus, amen, for the sake, as we're going to focus on the head this morning, let's go to the second verse of the second chapter, whole Colossians, 1 and 18 now. Go to second chapter of Colossians, verse 2. Elder, read that. Everybody got to say amen. All right, read.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
That their hearts might be comforted,
mm-hmm.
being knit together in love,
mm-hmm.
and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ.
Now, that is not the reading. The ending of that is not of the mysteries of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, the textus receptus and the majority texts have that included in there. And the critical text does not. So all the manuscripts do not agree. So now, whenever we have, and we have done these exercises in the perfecting class, and any time you have your verses of reading in the manuscripts, you cannot just look at the grammatical construction there, because they don't agree. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, some would say, well, the critical text is the older document, so that way the insertions is the new one, and I don't get into those kind of arguments. They're all copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. But you can go to other aspects, the historical aspect, and the contextual aspect, and it will convey to you whether that belongs there or not. Amen. And so, when we look at this, we have translated this, that their hearts might be comforted or encouraged, having been knit together, amen, in love, unto all the riches of full understanding, unto a perfect knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. Amen. Not of the Father and of Christ, to the mystery of God. Amen. And you can say of Christ. Amen. Of God, of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now here, amen, actually, if you were looking to try to do an argument to say that the Father is the Son, amen, you could leave that in there and say that you have three, amen, three genitives there in opposition, or three genitives there, amen, because one is the other. But I don't want to do that. There is plenty there to show you that the Father, amen, and the Son is traced back to one Godhead. What we want to do here in this case is to convey to you, amen, the correct intended reading, amen, of the mysteries of Christ, of the mysteries of God, Christ. What is the mystery of God? Is the mystery of God dealing with the essence of the Father? The answer is no. They were very well familiar with the essence of the Father. The mystery of the message of the mystery, amen, surrounds Christ. And who he is. And what he has done. Amen. And his role as head of the body. Now, what I have done is that this verse is in the other document, and when the time comes, we will convey this to you in essence, showing and breaking it down and giving light and giving understanding to what the conveyance there is conveying to our hearts. Amen. But the full understanding of the riches, amen, the riches, and of course, that's singular. That's in the accusative case, we have the Greek word plutos. It is in the accusative case, it is the direct object, it is singular, it is singular number. So he is not talking about riches, houses, land. He's talking about the rich spiritual blessing.
Yes.
And understanding that blessing, amen, unto a perfect knowledge, a full knowledge. Here, amen, that is speaking about a knowledge, a full conviction, and full persuasion, which all don't have, concerning the message of the mystery. So Paul is saying that we should all unite together with other believers in love as those who understand the wisdom of the mystery.
Yeah.
Amen. That we can rejoice in the richness of these spiritual blessings. Amen. That fully assure and that has fully assured and convinced and persuaded us. It is in the mystery. Amen. And so Paul's purpose here is in the cogitation and the intended conveyance is to teach the truth of the mystery for the church to the end that we might perfectly know, have perfect knowledge of the mystery of God. And here he said what the mystery of God is. So we have the mystery of God of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? What is the mystery of God? Amen. The message concerning Christ. So you have two, oh my God, you have two, you have a double, again, as in Colossians, of the church, of the body, you have two genitives in opposition. Amen, which means in agreement. You have also a double genitive here of God, the mystery of God of Christ.
Glory.
Amen. So the mystery of God, amen, is about Christ. Amen. And this is what He is conveying there. Just a little sideline. That won't cost you nothing. All right. Now, as we look at this, and this is where we had left off when we were interrupted some time ago, we have the terms head, beginning, firstborn. They express the preeminence of Christ in the new creation, which has its origin in the decree of his redemption in the eternal realm. Amen. When we see chief, the word chief in the Old Testament in the Hebrew, amen, or origin, amen, all of these tie in together. And this is for us to understand. We have all of these descriptive adjectival terms concerning the origin and everything of the body being traced back to the beginning. This is to show you that Jesus is God who was in the beginning. Amen. So that when we look at the body, we don't look at it as being something that evolved out from Israel. Amen. The church is not Israel. Israel is not the church. Amen. In the second chapter of Ephesians, don't turn there, when Paul speaks of the church, he speaks of it as being comprised of that which did exist and those that did know him, who were Jews, and those who did not know him, who were Gentiles. Amen. So you had the Jews that did know him and the Gentiles that did not know him. And here he say, amen, he broke down these distinctions in that which he was going, to manifest. Amen. And what he manifested was that which existed from eternity, but no man knew it. Amen. I defy anyone to look anywhere outside of these writings, amen, and see any information concerning the body of Christ. Amen. Oh my God. From the beginning, he had it, and we were part of it. Woo, hallelujah. From the beginning, he sanctified us and put us in it. From the beginning, he glorified us. And even though we have not received it, we are in it. It is real. Amen. Oh, my God. Because the actuation is in the decree. The most glorious thing. The most blessed thing. The body of Christ, the church. So he took Jews and Gentiles.
Thank God.
And it says he made one new.
Yes.
New means new.
Glory.
New means.
Thank you.
New doesn't mean old renovated. New doesn't mean old grafted in. See, if you take that which is old and graft in that which is new, that's renovation. Amen. The church is not a renovated entity. It is a new creation. Oh, my God. In Christ Jesus, before the world began. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to move on. That clock is really moving this morning. But the body of Christ, not body of organization. When we speak of the church, oh, my God. It is so important for us to understand, amen, and know that the church is not an organization. We have local assemblies that are organizations, but the church is an organism. It is not an organization. The church is spiritual, not physical. I think I'll say that again. The church is spiritual. It is a spiritual entity, not, amen, a physical organization. Oh, my God. It does not mirror society, but it is defined in terms of its relationship in Christ. And as I said before, this is the epitome of what grace is. Oh, my God. Look at this. It is the epitome of what grace is. It is a fashioning of the elect for the inheritance. He designed us as sons. He suited us and fitted us in the heavenly state habitually by the power for influence of his spirit. It depicts the effectuation of the power, oh my God, the divine power to impose, yes, I did say it, impose his nature upon selected ones. And all of us who were designed as such, we were eternally prepared before. This heavenly fitness is totally invested in the worth and value of the head. And this is why we're talking about the head this morning. It is solely in this sense that one can state that those who are sanctified shall be glorified. Oh, hallelujah. Such is forever indebted to the grace of God. This is why we shouldn't have to put out the pretzels and peanuts, amen, and give out trinkets to get people interested in church. Amen. Because if you know what the church is, and you look at the head, and you see the gloriousness, goodness of God, who loved you before he manifestly created you and made you. Oh my God, in eternity, he knew you, he foreknew you, and he put you in the most favorable position of all creation in his body. Thank you. Let us come to appreciate what the church is. Oh, hallelujah. We are forever indebted to the grace of God, which has sanctified us. Without grace, you couldn't be sanctified this morning. It's only through his grace. All the work programs and all of the differential doctrinal writings that are prescriptions for sanctification. Being in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. When it's all laid out here. And what it is saying, it is not about you. It's all about him. Someone asked this morning, what about if a person don't know this, that, and the other? Thank God it's not about what we know or what we don't know. Amen. It's not about comprehension is great. But it's not based upon comprehension. It's based upon election. He chose you and he elected you before you were around to even know anything. Before anyone was around to know. And he sanctified us. It is in this sense that he is distinguished as God and mediator. And give me about 15 minutes here and we might run a little over this morning. There's a couple of things got to convey to you. Of course, we did get a late start. Keep that in mind. The succeeding phrase of in that 18th verse. Let me read it again from the Greek. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn out from the dead, that he might be the first one in all things. Now the second phrase there is informatively annexed to the fact that Christ is the head of the body, rendered who is the beginning, the firstborn out from the dead. Here we have the Greek naarche, rendered beginning, denotes Christ as the essence of origination and initiation. It defines, describes, and identifies him as the first. In this view, he, that is Christ, extends beyond even the farthest extremities of perceived existence where God alone dwelled. We dealt with that in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, amen. According to the testimony of the Spirit of God, amen, he was from the beginning. There can be no definition of existence that excludes him.
That's right.
You're talking about God? Yeah, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about Jesus. Absolutely. Thus Christ, the head of the church, Jesus, has eternally existed and is rightfully called because he is the beginning. Hence Christ, who is the beginning, is also herein declared to be, here we have the Greek phrase, prototokos in tong nekron, which is rendered the firstborn out from the dead.
Yes.
Now we're going to go very slow here. And I want you to follow me. We may get out a little late today, but I want you to follow me here. Amen. Because we need to get the intended cogitation of what the conveyance expresses. The firstborn out from the dead. Here, prototokos, a firstborn, depicts him as being the initiation in the new order. The initiation in the new order of renewed beings. In essence, the source of regeneration, and we shall be coming out sometime before the year is over. Amen. I shall be giving you the written documentation, probably some 20-some pages on regeneration, because we've got that all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And they have moved regeneration into time, and some arguing about whether faith precedes regeneration or regeneration precedes faith. That's crazy. That's ludicrous. Amen. If you understand what regeneration is, regeneration is in the spiritual eternal realm, not in the physical earthly realm. Amen. Regeneration is in Christ. Regeneration is in the new man. The new man is that which was established in the body of Christ before creation. So all regeneration occurs in the eternal realm, amen, before creation. Amen. You are regenerated from the standpoint of being actualized in the decree of God as a member of the body of Christ before you were manifestly physically created. I think I said that very slowly again. You were actualized by decree, a new creation in the body of Christ in eternity when he chose you and when he elected you. And that's when he sanctified you. And that's when he glorified you. And that's when he placed you as a son in the body of Christ in the eternal realm. He did that, amen, according to the decree. And remember now, a thing is actualized in the decree, not in the manifestation of the decree. And so he did this in the eternal realm way before he manifestly created you, and absolutely before he manifestly saved you. So don't pull regeneration down here into the sphere of time. And I know what is taught. What is taught is that you're regenerated the moment you believe. And then some say, no, you're regenerated after you believe. Amen. And the truth is, you were regenerated before you were created. So, amen. So that's, if you actualize it, the actuation of the body of Christ is traced back into the eternal realm. Oh my God. It is in this view that we use this word, protokos, a firstborn. Amen. Again, it depicts him as being the initiation in the new order of renewed beings. In essence, the source of regeneration, that is the new creation. In this view, follow me now, Christ is the initiation of the spiritual generation that is comprised of designated ones who were chosen in him in the eternal sphere. This is in stark contrast to the physical generation that was brought into existence by Adam, as it is expressive of the entire human race. This is the very, amen, opposite, that is Adam, of Jesus Christ, who is the essence, which in essence is the spiritual regeneration, representing spiritual beings in the spiritual realm. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. Why don't we turn there for a second? We'll just go a little over this morning. Oh my God, hallelujah. They have singeramas. I wonder, could anyone, amen, stand it if we have a preacherama, a teacherama? All right. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. Everybody got to say amen. All right. It's still turning. We'll wait on you. This is very important information here. You see, you must understand this. Amen. God's people not be walking around here so frustrated.
Yes.
Frustrated because we don't understand what's going on. Amen. All right. Everybody got it now? Say amen. All right, Elder, just read the 15th verse. We don't have time, amen, to actually go back and excuse that we're not putting the full context in, but for the sake of time, I want to get that one point.
What verse, Pastor?
15 and 20.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15. Yeah, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not.
Uh-huh.
Verse 20.
But no, keep reading now that you've started.
Okay. Verse 16. Mm-hmm. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised.
Mm-hmm.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished.
Mm-hmm.
If in this life
in
only,
this life only,
we have hope
we
in
have
Christ.
Hope. It's not about what's in this life. It's not about what's in this life. Amen. This life is a manifestation of the decree of God. Amen. Whatever is manifested, that which is decreed. But read it.
We are of all men most miserable.
Hey, thank God that it's not about what's in this life. All right, verse 20.
But now is Christ risen from the dead.
Uh-huh.
And become the first fruit.
And there's that word that is translated there, first fruit. He is the first fruit of what?
Of them that's left.
Amen. Then that's not laid out there correctly, and I don't have time. Oh my God, I don't have time this morning. But the Greek now here is aprakri is rendered first fruit. And here the general thought, as we wind up for the day, is conveyed in the statement. And now Christ is raised out from the dead, the first fruit of those who have been sleeping. The basic cogitation is Christ's resurrection and the origination of that which did not previously exist. I think I said it again. The basic thought there, the basic conveyance is of Christ's resurrection is the origination of that which did not previously exist. And it is the manifestation of such as revealed in the sphere of time in the resurrection of believers following the due course that which was previously arranged. As we corroborate that with 1 Thessalonians, and we'll start there next week. We corroborate that with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. But the summarized confirmation of the above entails the following. Christ is the image, number one, Christ is the image, we've gone through these, of the invisible God. Number two, he always has, is, and will forever, eternally exist. That is, He existed before anything else. Number three, all things were created by him. Number four, Christ is the end, object, and purpose of creation. Number five, he continuously holds together all that he has created. Number six, he is the exclusive head over the church. Number seven, he is in essence the beginning. And number eight, he is the progenitor, catch this, of a new race or a new being, a new race of resurrected beings. Not resurrected when you believe, amen, but resurrected in the sense, that you have now come into a knowledge of the fact that you were, amen, that you are a new creation that was created in the eternal realm, realm in Christ before you were physically created. That's what regeneration is. Hallelujah. As a close, note subordinating conjunction. Ever you have a subordinating conjunction in the structure, in the construction, amen, it basically prefaces something, either that which precedes or follows. It's dependent upon something. That which is being stated there is dependent upon something that has either previously been stated or that will be stated. The coordinating conjunction ina rendered that in all of that, it prefaces the statement that he himself, that is Christ, remember the intensive pronoun that we had there, might be the first one in all things. Finally, the assimilation of these facts is very important, that they form the basis of Jesus Christ abiding first and foremost, position-wise, in the lives of God's people. Such information explicates who he is, what he has done, as it is the formulation of the thorough knowledge of his eternal being and authority in the accomplishment of his purpose and will. Comprehension and acknowledgement of this will serve as the catalyst for true and perpetual, and this is what I was trying to convey the other night, amen, to you. This is what we'll be dealing with in the ministry class and in the perfecting classes regarding Pyrenees, the exhortation that are based upon the internalization of the eternal spiritual things as being the motivation as to what we do and how we act and how we think now. Amen. What you think about eternity will influence what you think about things around you now, everything around you. Amen. We'll come back to this next week. Amen. But this is important information. As I've said to you the other night, we don't know what's going to happen. We're into a new year now. Amen. Just a few days ago, I guess the death toll now is up to 150,000. Over 5 or 7 million people lost their homes. But probably the death toll will probably go up much higher than what it is. They only report the dead as they find them, able to verify the body count. Amen. Of that which occurred, amen, from the tidal waves, there's no way you could go talking to those people this morning about five ways how to get out of debt.
No, I don't think so.
Talking to them about no weapon formed against them can prosper. that won't fly. I'm gonna get my stuff back from the devil. Amen. It is in situations like this that we see the ludicrousy of the gospel that is being preached by the so-called main, big-time, successful churches. Amen. And Don't think that we're exempt from any of that that could happen right here. I'm not prophesying anything. Amen. But if you have this knowledge, amen, within you, your mindset and your hope, your aspirations, your joy will not be based upon the things that are around you, but it'll be based upon the essence of that which you have internalized concerning, amen, your glorious relationship in Him. Amen. That which will never change. Amen. Because things will happen. Amen. Storms will come. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the song, amen, with Lil Edgerton that the saints used to sing. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise. Strong winds may blow. Amen. I found a Savior, but I have a Savior. I know a Savior. Amen. I have the Savior because, He saved me in the eternal realm. I have a Savior because He elected me and He chose me before the foundation of the world. I have a Savior because He eternally justified me. Amen. And placed me into the security of the body of Christ. I have a Savior because God has eternally provided for me, which chances all of the earthly things around me. So let the clouds come, let the storms roll, let the hail fall, let the tornadoes come, let all of the volcanoes rise and fall. Amen. But my security is in the essence of, because I am a member of the glorious body of Christ, the church.